It sure is good to see you, and we welcome you on this Pentecost Sunday. I want you to know that right after I give the benediction at the end of worship, for those of you that are members, if you're not members, you can stay. You're welcome for that. But if you would stay, we have just a very, very brief meeting. It's required by Presbytery to talk about my terms of departure. But we're glad that you're here today so that we can worship Jesus Christ together. This is Pentecost Sunday. It's the celebration of the church's birthday. The church that was started some 2,000 plus years ago. We'll be reading about how God gave the Spirit of Jesus Christ, came to them in the Spirit of Christ, and filled them so that many began to believe. And it is why we are here today, because that same Spirit comes to fill and be in each one of us. And I'll be talking about that more in today's message. But welcome to any of you that are online. Thank you for being with us for worship. We have enjoyed your support, and we hope you like us or share us with your friends, because it's been a joy having all of you in worship with us as well, because we are connected in one spirit. I'm going to begin by reading Psalm 104, beginning in verse 24. And the psalmist is giving a shout of praise to God, because God just fills creation with the beauty of his presence, and even fills it with his Spirit, so that we do not go through this world alone. And so the psalmist says in Psalm 104, verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there, living things both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan that you formed to sport in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created. You renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. Let us pray. God, we come today to rejoice in your glorious presence. We come to behold the beauty of your grace, to give thanks once more for the love that we've seen demonstrated in Jesus Christ and offered so freely in his resurrection to the whole entire world. Our only request is that we would be open to receive your Spirit, which seeks to fill us, empower us, and raise us up to go forth in newness of life. So be revealed in our midst as we pray, praise your most holy name. And we ask this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're watching, we're going to sing, Come, Holy Spirit, or Come, O Spirit. Come, O Spirit. If you're here, grab your hymnal. It's hymn 127. Hymn 127, Come, O Spirit. Let's stand and sing that together.
Thank you.
be seated. And isn't it great to have June back with us? We praise God for your healing. Yes, that's worth a round of applause. Thank you so much, June. I'm going to read from the Old Testament. And God had sent the Hebrew people free from their bondage in Egypt. And now that they're free, they're learning how to use that freedom to follow the Lord. And what we find out is God actually puts his spirit, not on one or two, but 70 of the people in their midst, so that there are several leaders who can help inspire folks to continue following and living their lives for the Lord. What's going to be interesting, and what's such a big deal about Pentecost Sunday, is the Holy Spirit is not limited to a few. When Jesus Christ rose from the grave, because he forgave our sins on the cross, his Spirit comes to anyone who will believe. And I think that's why the church has been able to be here today, is there's been many a Spirit-filled person working, praising, worshiping in God's church today. But I'm going to be in Numbers chapter 11, verse 24, if you want to follow along. And hear how the Spirit inspires these elders to speak to the people. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. But they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran, and he told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And let's celebrate the fact that God so freely gives his Holy Spirit to lead us in faith. Let's respond to this word we've received by standing and praising the Lord with the Gloria Patri. We're going to hear a lot from Acts chapter 2 today, but let me read to you from just a few verses from what happened after Jesus rose from the grave. He ascended into heaven, and the disciples were doing what Jesus told them to do. They were waiting for the presence of his Holy Spirit. And listen to what happened as they were gathered together. Suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And here's what I want you to hear. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Wow. Hey, children out there, I want you to know they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and it allowed them to speak. And I want us to think about what that means for us today. Anybody? I know right now for our children's moment, the children's don't come forward, but can y'all tell me what this is? Can y'all tell? Yes, it's a recorder, a flute. You got that right. Good answer. Well, it plays, it makes sounds, doesn't it? If you know how to play it, it can make even more beautiful sounds, right? Okay. Well, let's hear how it sounds. Why are y'all laughing? It's not making a sound yet. How come? Oh, you got a blow in it. Okay, all right. Let's see what we can do here. Yeah, wow. When I blow my spirit into it, it makes a sound. Now, what I want all you children out there to imagine is imagine that this red recorder is you. And God made you. And God designed you to speak. But you may not be speaking what God wants says until what? Pretend I'm not. Don't confuse the two or you're in trouble. Pretend I'm God. And as we know, when I blow my spirit in here, this recorder does what it's supposed to do, right? Let's watch, let's listen to what happens when, if I were God and I blow my spirit into you, listen what happens. It does what it's supposed to do. It makes a beautiful noise because that's what God designed it to do. But the one thing I want you to know, it depends totally and completely on that breath of God to play the beautiful music God designed it to do. So you know what that means for us? We depend on God. Just like the opening here, we need to have our hearts open to receive God's Spirit. And He'll enable us to tell the world beautiful things about His great love for all. So I hope you'll do that today. Every time you're in worship, open your heart so that God can breathe that breath of His Spirit in you and use you to make the world a more beautiful place. Let's pray. God, thank you that you share your life-giving breath with us. Thank you that even today you come to us, your people, and you blow your spirit upon us. Help our hearts to always be open so that you can fill our lives and we could have plenty to share with everyone that you put before us. Help us to speak beautiful words about you to the rest of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, children, for helping me figure out how to do that. I've really never played a recorder before, so that was fun. I am going to read to you now our gospel or our New Testament passage. It is from Acts chapter 2, and this is where the church really took off. It's why we call Pentecost Sunday the birth of the church. It is when people speak to others about Jesus Christ that the church takes off. But to speak, they need the Holy Spirit. So let me say a prayer, a blessing upon this reading, and then we'll hear what God has to say to us today. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you are still revealing your presence to us, and that when you do, we realize you're standing before us in love, not withholding a thing. So help us now to have open minds to know you, open ears to hear you, and open hearts to receive and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard the disciples speaking in the native language of each one. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed and said to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and they said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I'll show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mists. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know, this man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death because it was impossible for him to be held in its power." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Wow, the Holy Spirit didn't come to just a few like it often did in the Old Testament. It came upon everybody, and I hope you heard repeated over and over, and they prophesied. The Church of Jesus Christ, the voice of God's people, can be reclaimed and desperately needs to be reclaimed. And that's why I love this morning's passage. It encourages us to open our lives, to turn to God in prayer, so that God's Spirit can empower our spirit to declare to a hurting and confused world, torn apart by sin's brokenness, the wonderful news of God's good and great love that is so freely available in His Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. I don't know if you know this, but as Christians, the common purpose that we share is to be God's voice. We are, as it said in that passage, God's prophets. We are to be God's witnesses in and to a dying world. And what this morning's readings let us know is that when we are partnered with the Spirit of the Lord, it empowers us to fulfill this common purpose we all share, which is to tell the world this great news of God's love. So when the Holy Spirit comes, as it did here at Pentecost, people speak openly and plainly about Jesus. When the Spirit comes, the disciple Peter speaks about Jesus, and so do all the disciples, because they're no longer nervous and they're no longer afraid about what others may think, say, or do. And I could spend time dissecting the Apostle Peter's sermon to everybody there that morning, but I just want to point to the big picture of what's taking place. It is so incredible that when the Holy Spirit comes, Peter speaks. Don't miss the significance of that. Verse 14 says, Peter raised his voice and addressed them. Let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Wow, that's Peter. Peter, who was formerly the denying Jesus' disciple, this is the one now speaking. Peter, the once fleeing and deserting disciple, is now the one that's willing to take a stand and speak. Peter, the once afraid and fearful, described hiding behind locked doors for fear of the Jews, now speaks to the audience because he knows he has news regarding the absolute single most significant event in all of human history, and he is no longer afraid to say anything about it. He also realizes, you know, this is way too important. It's way too significant. It is far, far too incredible. It is so wonderful. It is so joyful. It needs to be said. And so verse 14 should not be overlooked. Peter raised his voice and he addressed them. That's a Peter who has the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about this. If Peter had not gotten up to speak, then the Jews, and most likely the rest of the world, would have thought that the crucified Jesus was still dead and only a miserable imposter. And that's important because the world today will not think much about Jesus being alive and well, present and at work, bringing human history to its intended conclusion if the church remains silent and does not speak. You know, what happens here in Acts chapter 2 would be similar to Hoover Dam just busting open to release all the water that's behind its wall. Imagine if all that water just came crashing in all at once. Well, here in Acts chapter 2, heaven is opened and Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to fill and empower the lives of all who believe. And Peter gets up to speak because he's under the influence. It's not under the influence of booze, as some of them thought. Peter and the disciples were under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and they were bursting with good news about Jesus Christ, who is no longer to be found in a tomb, but out in the world, appearing to others so that they could believe and know that God will, no matter what comes, fulfill his plans, his promises, and his destiny for the world. And so we see that when the Holy Spirit comes, people are fearless and zealous and privileged to speak without worry. When the Holy Spirit comes, people don't have fear because, like the disciples, the Holy Spirit reassures us we're not alone. We don't speak just by ourselves or for ourselves, but we know by the presence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is with us and we are partnered with him. Peter, who was once fearful, is now bold. Peter, who was once hiding, is now a public witness because he knows, wow, the Spirit of Jesus Christ has come to me. The people of God, the church today, needs to know when the Holy Spirit comes, we are partnered with the one and same Spirit of Jesus. It is the Spirit of Christ speaking in us and through us that allows us to make Jesus known to a very lost world. And you didn't have to look very far last night to know the world was lost if you turned on your TV. Watch the present riots on TV and see how people respond to injustice with even more and greater injustice. Instead of seeking ways that allows justice to be served and everyone to be reconciled and healed, we see people just creating further and greater chaos. When we in anger destroy the livelihood and property of an innocent neighbor, it is proof that we need saving because we're not even very good at saving ourselves. We've seen that we don't even know how to properly stand up for justice and do what is necessary to see it is served. The word reconciliation, the word resurrection, the word salvation from that which destroys are words that the church needs to stand up and speak today. That word can begin with how you are reconciled with Christ and have become one of his ambassadors to announce and share reconciliation with the world, because God wants us together and not apart. I think what challenges that from happening, or a problem that exists in the average church and the average Christian, is that we get bogged down somewhere between Calvary, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and Pentecost, that filling of the Holy Spirit. And what I mean by that is, many Christians have been to Calvary for pardon, but now that they are pardoned and set free to live for God, they need to go to Pentecost for power. The story doesn't stop at the pardon. That is simply just the beginning. People need to overcome that fear and step out in faith under the influence of the Holy Spirit to receive that good news and then become an ambassador of the good news for the world around them. For when we receive the free gift of God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ our Savior, we also receive the Holy Spirit. But that partnership with the Holy Spirit is empowered when we, like the disciples, know what God has asked us to do and are ready to do it. We find them being obedient. They are gathered together praying, waiting for the Spirit which Jesus had promised. God wants more than anything to share with us God's power to speak plainly and openly about the gift of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. We don't need to speak in incredible theological terms or a preacher's platitudes, but in words that describe what following Jesus has meant for yourself. For those can be personal words and wonderful words of what that reality of God's presence in your life has meant to you. I want you to think about this. Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, declares that God is with us. Calvary, the cross, where Jesus became the sacrifice for our sins, means God is for us and not against us. Pentecost, where Jesus fills the disciples, means that God is in us. And we're not to keep that quiet, because that's a wonderful thing. And we need all three of these realities. But Jesus fills us with his Spirit, so being filled with Christ, we can be more Christ-like to a lost world that does not know or believe in him. I like Oswald Chambers. He states it like this. The great idea is not that we are at work for God, but that God is at work in us, and God is working out a strong family likeness to his Son in us. That's a good idea of what God is doing when we receive the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Here in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes and a sound is heard. After the sound of the wind, there's a sound of voices proclaiming Jesus as the one who saves us from ourselves. I don't know if you've ever realized this when you've heard this passage or read it or studied it in Bible study, but you know, the story begins with the disciples gathered in this room. And they're in this room praying and they're waiting for power from on high. But as you continue reading Acts chapter 2, you suddenly realize that the room scenario has vanished and the disciples are outside. And what are they doing? They're preaching and they're proclaiming. You have forgotten about the walls that once held them in and separated from the masses. When the Holy Spirit arrives on the church, there begins to be a removal of any walls. When the Holy Spirit arrives on the church, there begins to be a removal of any barriers to the proclamation of Jesus. You know, I don't know if the disciples had to descend from their room, a set of stairs to go outside, or just simply open the front door and head out into the streets to address the crowds. But what I do know is when you start in verse 1 and continue through the chapter, the walls at the beginning of the story fade into the background until they're totally forgotten by us, the reader. And so we can learn from that. When our barriers, when our own fearful walls of hesitancy, of sharing our faith and telling others about Jesus begin to come down, we can say without hesitation, the Holy Spirit has come upon us. Churches today, I dare say, don't need to focus on filling their pews. They just need to be filled with the same Spirit so that the walls of fear are removed and the church rises up no longer to be silent, but to tell the whole world about God's love and forever welcome. So may we be that Spirit-filled church. Amen. I want us to go to God in prayer since He is with us and listening. Share with Him our joys, our concerns, and ask for the Spirit to empower us as God's people. Let's pray. God, you are so big and so infinite, and yet you come to us who are so small and so finite. You not only fill us, but you overflow us. And I hope that that grace, that love that fills our hearts by the presence of the Holy Spirit just spills out into the lives of everybody that you put in our path. I pray that we would be able to share our faith, not get in people's faces, but talk to them about what a loving relationship we have with Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and what a hope it brings. For Jesus has been through storms. He's been through injustice. He has been through humiliation. He's been through horrific death, and he's come out victorious on the other side. And it's amazing to think that when he rises from the grave, he so freely offers that victorious life to any and all who would believe. I pray, Lord, that you would not only help our faith, but help our unbelief. Help us in those areas of life where it's hard to see what you're doing or what you're up to. Help us to trust when trust doesn't come easy. Help us to lean on you when we are faced with uncertainty. And when times are easy and life is good, help us to see what a joy and privilege and honor it is to continue the ministry of Jesus Christ. I pray that your churches everywhere could be good witnesses to the great news of salvation and the life we have in you. And I pray that because you are with us now, you wouldn't just fill us, you would heal us, you would help us to turn from our sins and continue to walk in newness of life and invite others to join us as we do. And we do pray for anyone that has faced injustice that you would bring justice. For anyone that is grieving, you would bring healing. I pray that for those feeling downtrodden, you would raise them up by the comfort of your presence. That redeemed and healed and renewed, we would all rise up as with wings of eagles and soar on that high plane of faith as we live each day that you give us. I thank you for these good people and their service and ministry and worship in your church, and I pray that we would just find great confidence and hope knowing you're with us now and forever. So receive us as we come praying to you together the way in which Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our next hymn, and I hope that you sing it prayerfully. It is Come, Holy Spirit, Heavenly Dove. If you're there at home and want to get the words, it's Come, Holy Spirit, Heavenly Dove. For those grabbing a hymnal, it's hymn 126. Let's turn to hymn 126. Let's stand and sing that together. I will give the benediction. I do ask that those of you that can please stay so that we could hold a very brief congregational meeting. But for those of you that do go out now or when the meeting is soon over, may the love of God and the peace of Jesus Christ and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be in you and with you now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. I want to call to order our congregational meeting, and it is simply to recognize the what Presbytery calls the dissolution of the pastoral relationship. In other words, recognize that I will be departing And at that time that we agree upon, I will not be your minister, but that you will be looking for another one to lead you into your new future of God's making. I'm not going to say too much about it today because I'll just get choked up. But before I go any further, because I'll say it more next week, I can't, and neither can Virginia, put into words what an honor and privilege it's been to be your minister. And I hope that is something that you know, and whoever comes in my stead is going to be blessed to have such a talented people to continue the ministry of Jesus Christ. But if there's anything we want to spend our time that remains, Virginia and I both just want to spend it in some way trying to say thank you, because we simply are thankful for our time here. What I'm required to do is let you know that my last Sunday session had already approved it, but you'll need to approve it, will be actually next Sunday, June 7th. I'll preach that service, and then there's actually a reception that everybody's invited to in the fellowship hall after, and that will be the end of my employ and my ministry here. I will still be your friend. You can count on that, but I will no longer be your minister. And so we'll vote on my departure on Sunday, June 7th, in just a minute. But I'm also required to tell you about Presbytery's policy on separation. And I'll give you the nutshell version of that. If you want to know more, on the table with a white tablecloth are copies of it if you want to read the fine details. But it asks that when I leave, I not come back for those pastoral things that a minister does, like baptism, weddings, funerals, and the like, so that your new minister is able to lead you both together into a new future. Having that said, because of this COVID-19 mess that everybody is in, as you know, I've already done a graveside service for Marty Hauser. So even though my last official day that you'll vote on is June 7th, I will be back the following Saturday on June 13th to finish a pastoral duty that I couldn't complete due to this COVID mess we're in. So I will be back on June 13th to do Marty Hauser's memorial service. I have been asked, I've already done the graveside for Harold Maxwell, and when the family feels more safe about gatherings and knows that we can have more people in the sanctuary than we're having right now, they've asked me to come back and finish that process of hosting that memorial service. So if they still choose it, whatever date that will be, it's likely you will see me then in one last ministerial capacity. But again, that is due to the COVID response. Once you vote on the June 7th day, Presbytery is just simply asking you to know that it's time to say farewell to my pastoral relationship with you. But you don't, and I hope, say farewell to our friendship. Are there any questions about that? Any comments or anything? Okay, Libby, I assume you're... Where did Libby... There's Libby. You're taking minutes. We actually do have a quorum, so quorum's been met. So all that we need if there are no questions or comments anyone wants to make, is to formally recognize that Sunday, June 7th, will be my last Sunday with you. So is there a motion to that effect? Kathy made the motion and Cynthia second. Thank you. Does anybody want to speak for or against the motion? Frank? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else want to speak to or the motion? Ted? Back at you. Okay, hearing no other comments, all in favor, please say aye. Any opposed, say no. Motion carries. Well, I do hope to see you again next Sunday, and either in worship or at the reception. Virginia will be here as well with her mask on, but she'll be here, so. Let me close with a prayer. Well, technically, is there a motion to adjourn the meeting? Michael moved. Is there a second? Ted second. Is there a question about the motion to go home or go eat? Okay, all in favor, say yes. Any opposed, say no. All right, let's pray. God, again, thank you for this church. Thank you for our ministry together, and thank you that we always have a future with you, and thank you that you are the God, the author, the creator of new beginnings. So go with us all, as Ted said, in these days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God be with you.